Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch, artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Aloha. Coming to you from Cocoa Beach, Florida. Beautiful, beautiful morning. What I would call crisp. I don't know if you can see, I didn't flip this properly. The long ride home is backwards. Sorry, I reversed, didn't reverse it properly, the screen. But it's cold today. We got like, I think 5 or 6 days in a row of 19 mile an hour winds that are kind of onshore. We like offshore winds, but onshore is kind of blustery and cold. So having to deal with life's reality here. At least I don't have to go shovel snow. Aloha, Mark Cobb, good to see you. Aloha. Just a beautiful day. Hey, I want to let you know this might be the day you want to go to our website, deepadventure.com. We have about 20 new types of different cool t-shirts. I think one of the favorite ones I like is the one that shows the man, the knight, kneeling down, and it says, his head is bowed, and it says, my enemy, you know, Satan, was gleeful when he saw me kneeling down and have my head bowed down, claiming victory, until he heard me say the words, amen. And we got some really good biker, Christian biker t-shirts, and when I like the new one I like the most is the one that says, it says YOLO, BRB, JK, YOLO, oh no, I don't get it. Anyway, basically Jesus is saying, you only live once, YOLO, JK, just kidding, BRB, be right back. Jesus' Resurrection. So, so cool. I just completed a really good book I want to show you. I thought I'd start showing you the different books I'm reading. This one is reversed again. I didn't get the writing quite right. I didn't do the reversal on my camera like I'm supposed to, but this is a beautiful book. I've been studying the life of Mary lately and reading what the early church wrote from around the year 70 AD all the way up through about 700 AD is what we call the time of the early church fathers. Writing from the early Greek, the Eastern writers, you know, from the Greek sort of orthodoxy and Alexandria and of course the Latin orthodoxy. And just how the love for Mary and who she is grew. You know, we have when we worship God, the Latin tradition uses the word latria. We have latria for God. He is to be adored. He is the great, the almighty, powerful creator of the universe, you know, and God is love. And so we latria him. Now, dulia is something we give to maybe Tom Brady or maybe other, you know, heroes you might have in your life. As Christians, our heroes, our dulia goes to the saints, like Mother Teresa, Saint Pope John Paul II, Pope Leo the Great, Saint Augustine, Thomas Aquinas, Saint Justin Martyr. We have dulia towards the saints, and it's just so cool if you can just see, you know, we see the rockets launch, and there's going to be one here, another one again today. They kind of go up into space and then they're gone, but they're there, and I feel like that we dulia our saints. We have a veneration for them. We dig on them, we're proud of them, and we ask them to pray for us, just like I would ask Pat Gervais to pray for me. There's what we call in the Catholic Church the community of the saints, that God's Jesus Christ is the body of Christ. His body is not bifurcated. We are all one body, And so we can ask our brothers and sisters on earth and in heaven to pray for us. And so we dulia the saints, but we hyper-dulia Mary. We don't worship her, but we venerate her. She's Jesus' mom. She still is, you know. Jesus is still in his human body, his glorified, resurrected body. He's all God and all man, and he really likes his mom. And so we see Mary as the new Eve. The early church fathers thought of her as the new Eve. Jesus called her this when he referred to her as woman. She was like, I think it was at twice he refers to her as woman. One was at the wedding of Cana before he did his first miracle. And he called her woman. And the reason he did that is he was saying to her, you're not just my mom, you're that new kind of woman that totally surrenders to God's will. She's the new Eve. She's also Theotokos. The word God-bearer was something the early church fathers began to talk about. She's referred to as the Ark of the Covenant, right? That's the Ark of the Covenant you see in the Old Testament is just a prefiguring of Mary, who is the true God-bearer. And if you look at what's in the Ark of the Covenant, the manna, which is of course means what is it? Jesus is the bread of heaven, the what is it that came down from heaven. There's the rod of Aaron that budded. And we think of Mary sometimes as that too, because she was here on earth, some of the early church fathers speak of her as the rod that budded, you know, this piece of wood, this earthen vessel that brought forth flower. But of course the flower is Jesus. And also the Ten Commandments being the Word of God, being all pointing to Jesus. And so we see Mary with hyperdulia. We don't worship her. I'm sure you love her. And we learned the lesson that Jesus learned in his humanness. You know, when his mom asked him to turn the water into wine, you know, he did. Even though he said, hey, mom, it's not my time. And he realized, wait a minute, maybe it is my time. You know, I don't know exactly what thought he went through. But Mary is a big part of what goes on the earth today, as are all the other saints, but especially Mary. And so, you know, Mary in the Syriac language means lady. And so you'll hear many Catholics call Mary Our Lady. In the Hebrew, the word Miriam or Mary means bitterness. And we see Mary is in that way too. She's had to, as Simeon said, her heart would be pierced, not just for her son's suffering, but for the world. And so Mary is just this beautiful, I guess the greatest of all human beings, other than Jesus, and that we hope to aspire to take on some of her virtue. The angel said to her, Hail Mary, full of grace. And so the early church father said that she was immaculately conceived. Does that mean Mary didn't need to be saved? Oh no, she needed a savior. She needed a savior. It's just that Jesus saved her from falling into the pit of sin, where he saves us out of the pit of sin. And why did he do it? Because it was fitting that he do it, and so he did it. That's what St. Thomas Aquinas wrote. So reading the early church fathers on the veneration of Mary has sweetened my relationship with her. I see myself. I've always, when I really came to know about Mary, I guess the Lord revealed her to me more and more from a warrior's perspective. And the first thing that I began to understand about Mary was when Elizabeth said to her, "Who am I that the son of my Lord, the mother of my Lord, should enter into my home?" And I realized she was quoting King David when the Ark of the Covenant came into Bethlehem. And he said, "Who am I that, you know, the Lord should come into my house? The Ark of the Lord should come into my house." But I began to go into battle with the rosary. And oh my gosh, I saw, wow, how powerful that weapon is. And how we need to not put Mary into a wrong place, but she has a place. You know, if I walked into your home with my mother, and you totally ignored her because you thought I would feel bad if I paid attention to her and not to you. You know, if I didn't give all my attention to you, I would consider you, if I walked into your home and you just paid attention to me and not my mom, I would just consider you very rude. There's a lot of people that are Mary phobic. They got to get over it. There are some people that actually worship Mary that are gone too far with their religiosity, and it's wrong. It's not what Mary would want. It's not what Mary wants. There is that abuse, of course. There are extremes of different religions, different ways. But we need to have a heart for Mary in our heart. We need to defend her. I had three sisters, and when anyone would speak badly about my sisters, they paid for it. And people kind of think that they may not speak badly about Mary, but they just kind of put her on a shelf, and it's just like, that's very insulting too. So give Mary a place in your heart, give her a place in your home, and ask her to pray for you. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. That's from the Bible. Hail Mary, the angel said, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Of course, because she is going to be the God-bearer. Earth, she's earth, but the seed came from heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. The Catholic Church teaches that Mary, ever virgin, the early church fathers from the beginning talked about her as ever virgin, meaning that she conceived as a virgin, and she gave birth without losing, I guess, you know, her virginity, if you know what I mean. Jesus didn't pass through and tear her. And then she remained a virgin her whole life with her husband Joseph. In the Bible, it refers to Jesus' brothers, but Catholics are, you know, studious enough to know that that word is used for brothers and for first cousins. And so we're not sure if Joseph had other sons before he married Mary. Maybe he was a widower, or these could be his cousins. But Mary remained a virgin, and people go, well, how can Mary, that's crazy that Mary would give birth to Jesus but not suffer the pains of childbirth or have her womb opened like that. But didn't Jesus just kind of walk through the walls in the second chapter of Acts? I mean, in the book of Acts, when he appeared to his disciples. Jesus is God, he can do whatever he wants. And then some people say that Mary died and that somehow her body suffered corruption. There's different people that refer to that. But you see in the early church fathers, they will write about that. They didn't quite have the terminology about it. Some would say she went to sleep, but she didn't suffer corruption. And then that her tomb was empty, that she was assumed into heaven. But gradually the word came into use of dormition, that she in a sense fell asleep, and that her body and soul was then assumed into heaven. Did she ascend into heaven? No, she's not God. Jesus ascended because in his own power he could do that. But God, in that miraculous way, brought Elijah into heaven. He brought Enoch into heaven in the same way. But Mary, in this very special way, how could she suffer corruption when she was not corrupt? And so, Mary, I'm just kind of going off on this direction, I guess, because it's Christmas. We hold Mary, oh Mary, Our Lady, Queen of Angels. You know, we see her with her beautiful son, John, who Jesus said, behold your mother, woman, behold your son. Woman, he said to his mother, woman. Because again, he refers to her as the new Eve, the new woman. Behold your son. And so she lived with John. I've been to Mary's home on a mountain in Ephesus with the sea on one side. On the other side was a beautiful bay that is now filled in. You don't see it. Up on a beautiful mountain, a place of contemplation. The her time of prayer and intercession for the church. She was there at the second chapter of Acts when the Holy Spirit came. And so we love her, and we venerate her. We cherish her. Come on, you guys. Don't be afraid to cherish Mary. Don't be afraid to mention her name. Don't be Mary phobic. Just enjoy that you have the mother that John had. When he said to her, woman, he meant to say to not only to John, but to all of us, this is our mother. She She has a unique place of intercession. I always see my mother when I pray and ask my mother to pray for me, who's in heaven now. I always see her beside Mary, and I see them both praying and interceding for me. What a warrior, what a woman. You know, the reason why Satan is so upset is because this young little maiden, probably less than 17 years old, maybe around 16 or so, gave birth to the Son of God. And this maiden put Satan under her feet and through her son, Jesus. And you see her, she's the queen of heaven. She's the queen of angels. You see her often, her name can also mean star of the sea. You see her with a halo of stars, meaning those stars representing angels. She's the queen of angels. Is she higher than Michael or Gabriel or Raphael or a seraphim? Yes. And Jesus said, even we will be. But so she's the queen of angels. She's a powerful, powerful, beautiful, virtuous mother, you know, to all of us. So I just want to thank Mary for saying yes. She didn't have to. She gave the caveat, let it be done unto me according to thy word. And word is a powerful word. Word is a powerful word because Jesus is called, before he was called Jesus, he was called the Word. He was called the eternally begotten Son of God. And she bore him. Think about how Mary, you see here in the visions, where she's standing above a crescent moon. She is like the moon, right? She reflects the glory of her Son. And in her most recent apparitions, they span almost exactly 28 years apart. I was with Dr. Mark Miravalla in Dallas this summer. He's one of my professors at Franciscan University of Steubenville. I go to the online master's degree program there. And I got to interview him for Long Ride Home last time when we were in Steubenville this summer. And he said, I don't know why it's 28 years apart. You know, this is a man who was Mother Angelica's, spoke to her almost daily. He had her phone number behind the cloistered wall. Mother Teresa as well. And now he has an almost daily contact with the actor who played the role of Jesus in the, you know, the recent film. And he's a spiritual director to many people. And he was saying, I don't know why it's 28 years apart. And I go, I do. And it's so cool because he's told me he's stolen what I've said and he uses it a lot. He doesn't even give me credit. I tell him that's okay because I steal a lot from you and I don't give you credit either. But I said it's because a full lunar cycle is 28 years. I know of a man who served every day of a full lunar cycle for 28 years, every day for 28 years. In surfers, the moon is very important because it controls the tides. We know when the tide is receding twice a day that it pulls energy out of the wave a little bit. And when it comes in, it pushes the wave just a little bit, so you can, it's a noticeable difference. We tend to try to hold our contest when the tide is turning from low and pushing towards high, because the waves tend to be longer rides because the water's a little bit more shallow when the further out you go, the wave will break further out and run longer. If it's high tide, the waves may just kind of break on the beach very short or unrideable, especially in Europe. So Mary, the 28 years is a full lunar cycle. And you see her standing on the crescent moon and you see her reflecting the light of her Son. And so anyway, so it's kind of cool. When you read scripture and how it all comes together, and you see Mary in the Old Testament writings of Isaiah and things like that. So I guess I spent my day today talking to you about our love for Mary, that we don't need to be afraid of her. If you're Protestant, it's okay. You can still love Mary. You can still talk about her. You can still acknowledge her. You can say the rosary. Hail Mary, full of grace. The angel said that to her. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God. Is she Mother of God? This was a big thing. there were different heresies that came out that said, no, she wasn't the mother of God. Arian, I think, was probably the major name that comes to mind. There was a guy named St. Nicholas, the first bad Santa, that punched him out at the the Council of Nicaea, so angry with him, because he said that Mary was not the mother of God, but the mother of, and somehow, the humanity of Jesus, but not the divinity of Jesus. Jesus can't be bifurcated. He is one man with two natures, one person with two natures, all God and all man. Anyway, so Mary is also called the mother of God by the early church fathers. So it's a great book. I have a lot of other books here on Mary that I'm kind of going through my Mary study. Last 2 years I was studying Paul. So I just kind of spending some time getting to know more about what the early church thought about Mary, and I think it's appropriate for me to talk about it this Advent season. So I love you guys. Thank you for tuning in. I know I kind of overran my time. Holy Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, aloha, ahui ho, mele kiliki maka, see you tomorrow.
Hey man, I don't want you to miss out on your free stuff at deepadventure.com. Go there and subscribe to our weekly email newsletter. You get free video content, including the Bear Wozniak radio show, video version on YouTube before it even airs on EWTN. And you can follow us on all of our social media. Go to deepadventure.com and subscribe. Get your free stuff. And if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to press the subscribe button and ring that little bell. Don't miss out.